Good morning, and welcome to the presentation for the annual report 2016 of Elomer S.A. May I now hand you over to Mr. Wolfgang Buyer?
Good morning, a warm welcome from my side. Thank you very much for joining this call. Prior to starting the call, I would like to inform you that this call is being recorded, including the Q&A session, and will be made available also on our website after this call. In case you have additional questions, you can listen to that and clarify possible issues. I would like to start with the presentation of our full year financials of 2016. I would quickly like to point out some key developments in the year 2016 prior to handing over to Bernd Fischer, who is going to guide you through the financials. I would now go to page number three, where we have summarized the five key developments in the year 2016 and also the possible consequences for 2017. The first is that after a difficult first half year in 2016, we have introduced a full new programming scheme for Germany and later on also in Italy in order to counter the difficulties we have had in order to generate revenues in the previously known levels. The second is that we have started to develop in-house collections that we have branded with our own brand names in order to enhance the perceived value of the products that we sell. These collections have been presented on Illumio TV channels, but we have also started to offer some of these collections to outside wholesale customers, and I will quickly go into that and explain to you why. Point number three is the activities in the United Kingdom. We have discussed the activities in the United Kingdom many times over the year 2016 because we've had many problems in the United Kingdom, in particular, first after our move of the facilities in 2015, and then when we started to have things under control again a little bit, the Brexit decision was taken by the English public, and the result after that was a pretty sharp decline of the British pound against the Thai baht, which caused us a significant factor cost problem that I'm going to go into. Point number four is our e-commerce activities, which in 2016 have continued to show a very strong performance and continue to benefit the group and help the group with its transition to a full e-commerce-based jewelry retailer. I would also like to point some data out on that. Finally, the most important thing is that if you summarize the developments of 2016 and all of the measures that we have taken, we see that we are currently on a good path forward, and we are planning to return to operational break even with the group in the first half year or during the first half year of 2017. That is, I think, a very promising prospect, at least from us, after a total of one and a half quite tough years. On page number four, just quickly, we have introduced a full new programming scheme in Germany and in Italy in 2015. We've shown that already in the half year figures of 2016. This has been adopted by, in particular, the German audience very well, resulting in a pretty significant growth of revenues in the third quarter. In the fourth quarter, the growth over the previous year wasn't as big as expected. We were still growing, but not as fast as we were hoping to grow. That is mainly due to two reasons. The first being that in 2015, we had actually a pretty strong fourth quarter, and therefore we had to fight against or not fight, but go against a pretty significant prior year. In the fourth quarter, we have been not as active to replenish our products, and therefore we have been not so successful to grow the quarter as fast as we wanted to. That is something that in the beginning of 2017 have been changed, and in the first quarter of 2017, we see Germany back on a pretty good development scheme. Page number five, and that is something that is a little bit of a, let's say, further development of our strategy, is that we have developed over the last half year three major collections of jewelry: the Lance Fischer collection, the Amayani collection, and the Cavill collection. The Amayani collection is a collection that we have presented in the German business already for quite some years, and we have now introduced this collection also in the United Kingdom and in Italy. The Lance Fischer collection and the Cavill collection are two fully new collections, the Cavill collection being a full silver bold gemstone jewelry collection, and the Lance Fischer being a mid-price gold jewelry collection. These collections have been presented and introduced in all of our territories, apart from the Cavill collection that has not been presented in the United Kingdom so far, because the United Kingdom is a territory where we do only gold and no silver. The feedback from customers has been very positive, but we have used these collections also to present them to wholesale customers and B2B customers, which is a modification of our strategy, because traditionally we see ourselves as a pure B2C business. The reason for this is that after the restructuring of the United Kingdom, which has transformed the United Kingdom into a stable territory where we don't see the amount of losses that we have seen in the past, we have there also lost a significant part of our revenues. And that has led to a situation where the capacity in our Thai factory has not been fully utilized, and we have introduced these collections to wholesale customers in order to utilize our capacity in the United Kingdom better. The first customer that we have developed these collections with is Gem Shopping Network in the United States of America, where we have had now two test shows that have produced some pretty interesting results, and we hope to be able to continue with this customer and also possible other customers throughout the year 2017 to utilize our capacity in Thailand better and have a better fixed cost regression for the pieces that we produce. One other reason why we introduced these collections is that if you see on page number six, we have seen a slight decline in revenue per customer in both Germany and Italy in the year 2016. That is has been after researching our customers, due to the fact that they considered our product as a standard product that they have seen over many years in that way, and that they were hoping not only to see a improved presentation of the product, but also to see a better brand image and brand awareness of the product we offer to them. And this is why we have decided to launch these two or three branded product lines, to enhance the perceived value of the products we offer. And feedback from customers so far is very good in order to help us to return to better revenues per customer in the year 2017. One thing that I would like to point out that is going to help us a lot in 2017 is, if you look at the number of active customers in our core market in Germany, with 63,000 active customers in 2016, this is the highest figure of active customers that we have ever had. So in particular, due to our measures in the second half of 2016, we have been able to re-engage many of our customers, and we're going to benefit from that in 2017. In many calls throughout the year 2016, we have discussed the development in the United Kingdom, which for us was basically a double hit. First, self-inflicted pain, if I may say so, after the move of the premises from Leamington Spa to Birmingham, which didn't produce the results we were hoping to and had many operational problems. And then when we had kind of things a little bit more under control, then the Brexit happened, resulting in a pretty sharp decline of the British pound against the Thai baht. You can see that it's close to 10% that the British pound lost against the Thai baht. Against the US dollar, it's even a little bit more. And since pretty much 50% of our total cost is factor cost for the products that we sell, and these factor costs are totally denominated in either Thai baht or US dollars, that has resulted in a pretty sharp increase of the cost prices, and that made the activities we had in the United Kingdom unsustainable, because this was happening in a company that was already struggling to break even, and then this took away another 6% of total margin, which was enough. So in the fourth quarter of 2016, we decided to restructure the entire activities. We have explained our approach already in the release of the Q3 figures. What we have done basically is we have renegotiated our distribution agreements, mainly the DVB-T distribution agreement, which is Freeview in the United Kingdom, and we have discussed with the relevant distribution partners the two options of stopping that distribution altogether or modifying that distribution to a different technical standard. And in the end, the outcome was that we have agreed with the distribution partners in the United Kingdom to move the technical distribution to a different technical standard, which is called DVB-2. That's the technical standard that is being used in order to produce HD TV signals. So it's a very efficient technical standard. And if you have a standard definition picture and you broadcast this on DVB-2, you save a lot of bandwidth that is required to broadcast your TV signal. This is what we have done. It's a very, very significant cost reduction due to confidentiality agreements with reach partners. I cannot release a precise figure, but it is a pretty substantial reduction, and that has basically brought down the break-even point of our UK activities by more than half. At the same time, obviously, we have lost some households, because there's some households that are not able to receive a HD signal. The total amount of households that were lost is being estimated at roughly 25% to 30%, and that is also going to be one of the factors that is going to drive down sales in the United Kingdom. But at the same time, we have pretty much very drastically reduced the losses that we have sustained in the United Kingdom, and we have now brought the activities in the United Kingdom to a long-term sustainable level. At the same time, after these operational changes, after also reducing the workforce in the United Kingdom quite dramatically, we have decided to redesign and relaunch the activities, so to give the customer a new look and feel, to make it a lot more fresh, so that the customer also has a reason to re-engage again. That is something that we have done as of the 1st of March. And you can see some images of what we have done in terms of design there. The total on-air design of Rox & Co. is now much closer to a jewelry boutique, and it gives a more intimate feeling between the customer and the presenter. At the same time, we have focused our product assortment much more on high-end jewelry, and we have also brought back margins quite substantially. So we have increased prices, and so far, after 23 days in the month of March, customer feedback has been overwhelmingly positive. Customers have very well reacted to this redesign and also to the new product assortment, and we see a positive trend in sales after the first 3 weeks, which makes us very optimistic for the remainder of the year, in particular since there are still some additional activities and new brand relaunches that we haven't been able to introduce in the United Kingdom so far. For example, the Lance Fisher collection is a collection that we're only going to introduce in the UK later this month. E-commerce continues to show very high growth rates. Our e-commerce business continues to grow at a 50% rate. You can see that from 2015 to 2016 in the European e-commerce activities. The transformation of our group from a television shopping channel to a electronic retailer and a more web-based company is well underway. We have now increased the amount of new customers that come from the web to more than 50%, and the total share of e-commerce sales has grown to close to 34% in 2016. So, before I hand over to Bernd, I have made an or included in here a analysis of the development of the segment EBITDA, which is our adjusted EBITDA over the last quarters. In the fourth quarter of 2016, we have subtracted the activities in the United Kingdom, which by now have been restructured, and you see that this trend is moving upwards and moving into the right direction, which is mainly due to number one, the successful restructuring of our activities in the United Kingdom. There has been also a significant reduction in operating costs that has already been completed in Germany throughout the first quarter of 2017, and we plan also to optimize our operating costs in Italy in the first half year of 2017. The margin recovery continues to be on track, which is going to help operating margins, and we also hope to see a first positive contribution of our wholesale activities in the first quarter of 2017. And all of that makes us optimistic that we are on a good way forward in order to return to operational break-even sometime during the first half year of 2017, which we are currently planning to do. Now I would like to hand over to Bernd in order to have a more detailed look into the financials.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Let's start with page 12, where we find basically a summary of what Wolfgang has already described about the development, in particular in Germany with the new programming schedule, as well as for Italy, where we did the same, but where we see a delayed development in terms of customer erection, and of course the recent development in the United Kingdom. On the page 13, you find, as usual, the revenues, gross profit, and EBITDA margins compared to the prior year. We see the revenues, where you find another page with the breakdown in the for the country later on. We have the decline in the gross profit margin from 46% down to almost 44%. This development has basically two trends. One is, which cannot be seen here, is the positive impact of the new purchasing model, which we see if we compare the products produced for the new model versus the old purchase model, which gave us an increase of almost 10 percentage points. But at the same time, we increased revenues very much with products from third parties, in particular also Cat France, where we see high revenues but with a lower margin in average as the group has. So that's why in total the gross margin slightly decreased from 2015 to 2016. Subsequently to the development Wolfgang has described also for the first half year 2016, the overall EBITDA margins decreased from minus 4.5 million last year to the minus 7.8 million in 2016, which we will see later on in the segment reporting, relates primarily to the first half year 2016. On the page 14, we see the development for the last quarter, the Q4 2016, compared to the last quarter 2015. Also for the revenues, we will see the breakdown in the revenues on a different slide coming up. We see for the gross profit compared to the weak 2015 numbers, which were very low also due to the UK, an increase of margins overall, as well as we see the development for the EBITDA margin for the last quarter. On page 15, just to complete the information, is the consolidated income statement incomplete, showing the revenues minus 1.6%, but also selling and administrative expenses. I show you for these both cost positions a breakdown with further details on the following pages. If you look at page 16, there is the promised revenue split by country. On the top, you see the full year numbers for Germany, Italy, United Kingdom, and other countries, as well as you see below the numbers for Q4. So Germany is for the total year slightly below the prior year, which is in its majority due to the very weak first quarter we had in Germany. So in the second half, we see an increase in revenues here also for Germany. Italy has a weak performance against prior year in total of minus 22%, but could decrease the decline in the last quarter of 2016 versus the prior year. So we see the very first impact due to the changed program schedule also in Italy right now. The United Kingdom in its revenue development shows also a decline, which is in the first row down to based on the decline of the British pound against the euro. As we compare the United Kingdom, the sales in British pounds, we would see for the total year a slight growth of 4%, and also for the last quarter an increase of 2% versus the prior year. In the other countries, the 3.9 million, there's included also first transactions we had with the B2B business, which Wolfgang already explained, which we are going to extend in 2017, in particular with GSN, and we see where this will take us in 2017. On the page 17, the summary of the segment report compared to the prior year, and we clearly see that the development in sales division others compared to the prior year is less impacted, as is especially the UK. We could reduce the losses here significantly. On the other hand, subsequently, we see for the sales division Germany, Italy, the first half year, the impact, as well as the impact of the sales and revenues decline due to the fixed cost structure we have. So, which leads in total to 7.7 million of segment EBITDA for 2016. If we look at page 18 and just compare the second half 2016 to the second half 2015, when also the decline happened for the group, we see that we could already start to improve against these weak prior year numbers in all segments. Following two pages show the split of the selling expenses as well as the administrative expenses to give you a breakdown here. for the selling expenses that in total increased from 28 million to almost 30 million euros. We see that the broadcasting and channel rental costs slightly decreased already, especially in the second half of 2016. We see a slight increase of personal expenses, more or less stable. The major increase we see is for the sales and marketing expenses. That is due to the increased webshop business, so for SEO marketing, etc. And we see increased depreciation amortization costs, mainly due to the investments in Apple stores we had in 2015. The other selling expenses, as described below, contains in its majority payment costs, telephone platform, and presenter and producing. And so the overall development, the increase comes primarily to the depreciation and payment costs. On the page 20, the split of the administrative expenses. Of course, we have the increase in personal expenses based on the IPO structure. We see separately the equity settled share-based payments included here, which is not cash relevant. And the impact from the losses from foreign currency translation. The impact in 2016 comes primarily from the decline of the British pound against the euro. On the other administrative expenses, which is put together by rents, directors' remuneration, traveling expenses, and fees for consulting and audits, which sums up to the 5 million in total. This includes also incurred expenses where the opposite position is in the other income, which amounts to roughly half a million, which is included here. So that in total, we can see in the, in particular in the other administrative expenses, quite nice decline in cost versus the year 2015. To complete the information for the segment EBITDA, to show you those positions we subtracted from the overall P&L EBITDA. So the biggest position we have is, of course, the effects from the foreign currency translation. The second one is the stock options program we initiated in 2015. And the third one is basically cost related to the restructuring of personal structure in UK, but also for Germany and Italy, which is, of course, a one-off expense, and that's why we consider this to be adjusted. So, quick view on the balance sheet. There is no movement or significant movement in the assets, of course, because the major investments we have already done in 2015 in terms of factory, Apple Store. So for 2016, we just have some maintenance investments, which we had to do. And so overall, based on the depreciation, we have a decline in the total non-current assets in 2016 versus the prior year. We also see a slight decline in inventories from slight over 40 million down to 38.9 million. The other big movement is, of course, due to the operating loss in 2016, the development of cash and cash equivalents from 13 to 2 million. On the equity and liabilities side, we see the total equity decrease from 50 to almost 40 million, with still 62% equity share compared to the total assets. We see what we already have seen also in the half year report and the report for the third quarter 2015, the move of financial debt from non-current to current liabilities, which subsequently also increases the current liabilities against the previous year. Apart from that, there have been no significant changes on the balance sheet side. For the cash flow statement, for the cash flow from operating activities, there is the biggest movement for the other non-cash expenses income, which is primarily based due to the FX losses from the British pound. And the other big movement compared to the previous year, of course, is the movement for the working capital. So the increase we've seen in 2015 now started to decrease slightly, so that the total cash flow from operating activities came down from 26 million down to 10 million. On the following page, we see the investments from the activities from investing. As already described, there have been no major investments in 2016. And also, in terms of financing activities, there have been no significant movements in 2016. So coming to the outlook, as Wolfgang already announced, we expect due to the activities, the significant cost reductions we implemented, not only for broadcasting, but also basically for all cost positions, that we can turn back to profitability within the first half year 2017, which I think is also looking at the forecast report in our annual report, a promising forecast. The new sales format, as described by Wolfgang, going to start showing traction in the beginning of this year. And so to summarize, that we are on a good track back to profitability, and yes, may I say we're looking forward to 2017. With the upcoming results for the first quarter 2017, which is going to happen in mid-May, we intend also to give full year guidance for the total year, and including also the first results for the B2B business, where we will have some experience until then. So we may now start with the questionnaire. So I may hand over to our moderator.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. If you like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your touchtone telephone. The operator will announce your name when it's your turn to ask a question. In case you wish to cancel your question, please press star 2. So the first question is coming from Mr. Mark Josephson from Equinet. May we have your question, please?
Yes, good morning. I'd like a bit more of the background in terms of the new program in Germany and what will happen later in Italy. I'm starting from the standpoint that I was, compared to my own model, a little bit disappointed with the sales base in Germany, and I wondered what's happening with the program there. And probably related to that, but it might be a separate question, the background to the restricted replenishment that you flagged, which I think mainly affected Germany.
Okay, let me answer that question in particular to explain a little more in detail what I meant with restricted replenishment, because that was probably not phrased precisely enough. Obviously, whenever we do changes in our, in particular, product assortment, there's a certain time lag until we see this in revenues because we produce everything ourselves. We have introduced in Germany a total new programming scheme in the beginning of the third quarter of 2016, and we have started to see very promising results to that, which led us to also, let's say, revitalize our entire product assortment, which was a project that took us basically from the end of the third quarter of 2016 to the end of the year, resulting in these new collections that we have described to you. These collections have only been introduced in the first quarter of 2017 into the sales territories of our group, and that was what I meant with the replenishment, where it hoped to be able to revitalize our product assortment a little bit quicker, but sometimes in order to produce jewelry in a very good quality and according to our standards, that takes a little bit longer, and this is why we haven't seen the positive effects of that as fast as we had hoped, and some of these positive effects that we had hoped to see in the fourth quarter of 2016 only started to materialize in the beginning of 2017.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. I have a second question with respect to the UK. Clearly positive that the reception since the relaunch at the beginning of this month has been well received. I think on one of the slides I saw a figure of £1,000 as the ticket price. But in terms of the sales mix that you're anticipating going forward, is the gross margin higher, lower, or broadly the same compared to the gross margin that we've seen in the past? I mean, great news with respect to the costs, but and the fact that target break even is lowered over there, but how long away is that before we might see break even in the UK, and what is the margin structure there, please?
When I answer that question, we enter well into the first quarter of 2017 because the relaunch has only happened as of the 1st of March. Mm-hmm. Gross margins in the UK at the moment are much higher than they were in the past, with pretty substantially reduced sales volumes. I have received fairly strict restraints regarding making any possible comments on the break-even situation in the UK and when we are going to see it. In January and also parts of February, we liquidated some of our prior relaunch product, and therefore during that time we didn't make very favorable gross margins. Starting from the 1st of March, as I said, with reduced volumes, these margins have been very good. The question on how fast we're going to reach break-even in the United Kingdom will mainly depend on two developments that are still in the future, which is we're going to have to see how our Cat Florence business in the United Kingdom is going to develop after the change in distribution. So how much of our Cat Florence clientele is still going to be there when we do the next Cat Florence show, and that is going to happen only in the coming weekend. And then thereafter, we are going to introduce the Lance Fisher collection in the United Kingdom, which is a slightly more affordable collection of jewelry with price tags also below £1,000 that we produce in the creation mechanism that we have described many times. So basically we take an order from the customer for these pieces, and then we produce this and ship it to the customer. So it's a made-to-order approach. And these two effects are going to give us a very clear guideline on when potentially the United Kingdom is going to reach break-even in 2017. But as I have said in 2016, and I stand by that, in 2017, the United Kingdom is not going to be a big loss-making unit anymore anyway, because either we will continue to downsize the business until we have reached break-even, or we will reach break-even with the current shape of the business.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. I have a final question, and maybe it's more directed towards Ben. I think it's good news that the management in total have given us some guidelines in terms of the operational break-even. I think that introduces a bit more clarity for investors. But with the operational break-even, there was one slide I think you showed us, Ben, that had six or seven different adjustments. By my calculation, I think most of these adjustments are now behind us, and so going forward, we will only have the FX and the stock options effect. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay, and obviously we don't know how currencies will move going forward, but if currencies don't move from today, is the FX effect going to be a big impact in 2017?
I can't predict that, of course, because in the end it will depend on the currencies development. We have Thai baht, euro, and British pounds, which are the major currencies we operate in, and it will depend on the relation between these currencies. So in 2015, the majority of the losses came rather from the euro against Thai baht devaluation, and in 2016 it was more the British pound, which hit us. So when we get rid of the Euro-Tiber problem, we won another one, which was the British pound. So it's hard to predict what will happen in 2017. I think it would be fair if nothing of that happened this year, but I'm afraid I can't predict.
Okay. But in terms of the operational break-even, then let's factor that in, or assume that it's unfair for me to say a given, but I'm starting from that basis point that we achieve that. The biggest pound movement was after Brexit, of course, so that is all in H2 of last year. So we've got in H1 of this year quite a big negative for that we're probably up against. But there's no other exceptional items. There's no other relaunch costs or restructuring costs that I should be looking forward to or looking towards in my model. Is that the case?
No, absolutely not, because we took care that everything happened already in 2016. So if there are anything occurring in 2017, we put provisions in there, as you have seen, which was one of the positions, C445.
Yep.
Basically, that 2017, there should no extraordinary hits apart from what we usually do, the FX losses and the stock options program, because they have basically no direct cash impact.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
So the next question is coming from Volker Bosse from Baader Bank. May we have your question, please?
Yeah, hello, gentlemen. Volker Bosse at Baader Bank. Three questions. It's great to see the impressive e-commerce growth by 52%, but more curious regarding the TV sales. This stands for 60% of group sales. So how does TV sales develop on a group basis and also on a country-by-country basis in 2016? And the second question would be regarding your outlook, looking at the sales line. I mean, we see a double-digit sales decline in UK given the restructuring. I mean, Germany is we are plus 2.1% up in fourth quarter, but Italy is down double digit. So do you see any sales growth or expect a sales decline in 16, just to get a feeling how you think about the sales line? And regarding the EBITDA line, if you say to become profitable in the first time, I think this means also then on a full year basis to be positive, if we see UK significant reduction of losses, but also Germany, Italy had minus 3.1 million EBITDA. So how do you achieve the segment EBITDA turnaround here in Germany, Italy, which is necessary in order to be break even or to be EBITDA positive on a full year basis? And finally, it's also more on the financial situation, the free cash flow in 17 is maybe negative again. How do you secure the financing? Have your financial agreements already in place? Or how does the cash situation and the free cash flow situation looks in your outlook projections for 17? Thanks.
Maybe I will answer the last two groups of questions, and then I will hand over to Bernd for the first question regarding the development of the sales.
Sure.
We have quite a few separate developments at the moment, the development of the German TV business, the development of our activities in the United Kingdom, in Italy, and also the developing B2B activities. At the moment, it is for us very hard to estimate on how the total of these activities is going to influence the business in 2017. This is why we have decided to wait until we will publish the figures for the first quarter of 2017 until we give a full year guidance, because at the moment, in all honesty, we would only be able to give you a very wide corridor of possible outcomes with a lot of notes attached of the kind of, if this happens, then this is going to be the consequence. If that happens, that is going to be the consequence. And I think this is not not really helpful to anybody. I can assure you that we have number one, objective as management of Illumio Group, which is to return the group to profitability as fast as possible while maintaining our liquidity in very tight control. Liquidity is obviously in a situation where we have faced this amount of operational problems always something that has to be monitored very carefully, in particular also since we have a financing line that we have to negotiate with. So far, our assumption or our expectation is that we're going to be able to manage that properly. Otherwise, we would have made a comment on that already. So we consider also liquidity to not negatively affect our outlook for the year 2017. And I think our publishing date for the Q1 numbers is not that far away. I think it's somewhere 10th or 11th of May. So it's not that that it is going to be a very long time until we're going to make a statement on what we consider the full year 2017 to be. 11th of May.
Okay. Yes, regarding the decline in TV business, if we may go back on, let me quickly check, page 9, where we showed the development of the European e-commerce. In the past, if you look at TV itself, it's what we would call the pure TV channel. There's also what we define as being e-commerce, the usage of apps, online bidding agents, that is based on the TV format but the customers is not approaching via classic TV, but via the mobile apps, etc. So if we talk about the decline of TV, it's what we basically see really the change of the landscape of how people consume TV today. This change, which we were expecting also some years ago, is happening much faster than we may anticipate it 2 years ago. So the promising aspect of this development is that the e-commerce segment in total still is growing by an average 50%. So not only 50% for the classic web shop, but also in terms of the usage of online tools we provide to the customer, so that we can shift our customers from the rather expensive TV broadcasting part to the more efficient online and mobile app part. And unfortunately, this development for the classic TV, so the decline there is happening a little bit faster than the growth on the other hand. But nevertheless, what we have seen during the last 2 years, so despite the operational issues we had very clearly, we see a really constant development in this part. And I think for the future development of our company, that these e-commerce part and classic webshop part is constantly growing around more or less 50%. Gives a promising picture for the future.
Yeah, totally understood the underlying trend, and but nevertheless, the bread and butter business, which stands for 60%, is TV. So, I mean, I can do the math on my own, and we'll figure out. Thank you. Perhaps one additional question on Schmuck.de. So, not mentioned Schmuck.de in the presentation. Would be curious to see your strategy here and the first indications after the relaunch the webshop last year, and how the strategy looks here going forward. Thanks.
The relaunch has been quite successful. Since the relaunch, the business has been growing quite quickly. Our focus in the year 2017 is going to be a big data-driven, more customer-centric display of products, and I may try to explain that a little bit more in detail. When you present your products on a website, the most important thing that you really have to get right is that you present everybody with the correct product at all times. For that, there's very many tools available in the market that make, based on past purchases from customers, predictions on what customers would most likely buy as well. Most of these, or all of these tools, don't work in our environment because they require a not-so-wide product assortment with rather deep volumes of sales. So maybe 1,000 or 1,000 SKUs with 50, 60, 70, 80 sales per SKU, while our group produces a very, very wide range of product with rather shallow levels of individual sales per product, and that makes it for these tools very tricky to predict what kind of product assortment should be presented. This is why we have launched a project in which we are segmenting our entire product line according to algorithms and try to present customers more jewelry, not with precise individual pieces, but more pieces grouped together in these segments. That is something that we will hopefully start to introduce in the second quarter of this year. And that, I think, is going to help us to continue to grow quite quickly with Schmuck.de. What we are currently doing already. So it's Schmuck.de is growing very fast, it's growing very nicely, but it's coming from a very small base.
Yeah.
So I think kind of more toward the end of the year or the beginning of next year, the volumes at Schmuck.de are going to be significant enough in order to give you an individual outlook of what is happening with Schmuck.de. But so far, the development has been very promising. So strategically, it has been the right move. It's only going to take some time to be big enough in order to warrant individual analysis.
Okay. Thank you very much. All the best. Thank you.
Thank you.
For further questions, please press star 1. There are no further questions so far.
Okay. So from our side, from Illumio side, thank you very much for your continued interest in our business. As I have said, we will work like hell in order to bring the company back to profitability in 2017. And I hope that in the next quarter of results, we'll be able to give you a much more precise prediction on when this is actually going to happen. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
So we want to thank the moderators and all the participants of this conference. Thank you and goodbye.